Dayton Mennonite. We invite you to stand and worship with us on this Sunday. This is a special Sunday. We have a lot of guests coming in for the dedication, so let's sing in our praises to God.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Nazarene, and wonder how he can love me, a sinner and unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is
Worthy is the Lamb. I want to greet you this morning in the name of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I just want to extend a warm welcome to each one of you this morning. It's cold outside, but it's warm in here, and it's good to have each one of you here with us this morning. I know we have a lot of visitors because of the baby dedications, and I just want to make each one of you guys welcome. And if you're here from this community and you don't have a home church, we'd love to have you come back and worship with us again. For a devotional this morning, I want to read one verse from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I believe King James says, all things are made new. You know, this morning we find ourselves in the first week of a new year, first Sunday of a new year. And as I thought about this last evening while I was freezing to death in a deer stand, didn't see any deer, but got my devotional anyway. You know, January is often a time of resolutions. People make all kinds of New Year's resolutions. You know, most of them involve personal discipline in one way or the other. We might resolve to lose weight, get in shape. We might resolve to stop some nasty habit, alcohol, tobacco, sugar, ice cream, you name it. But all of these things involve personal discipline. And, you know, as humans, with our legalistic nature, we work so hard to do this on our own, to do it by ourselves. You know, there's literally millions of dollars spent every January on gym memberships, diet supplements. The list goes on and on. And, you know, certainly none of these things are wrong in themselves. But I think so often we miss the point. It's so simple. A life submitted to Christ is really the answer to all our personal discipline issues. And I can assure you that without Christ, you will struggle in all of these areas. You might be successful in one. You might be successful for a little while. You know, you might lose weight. You might do this or that. But ultimately, without Christ, pretty much an exercise in futility. You know, when we give these things to Christ, it doesn't cost us anything. It only costs us one thing, and that's to give up our pride. And that's what usually stands in the way of a lot of things that we deal with in our personal lives, is our pride. You know, we're too proud to say, I can't do this alone. We're too proud to say, I can't overcome this addiction without Jesus. And again, the list goes on. But I just want to, in closing, I want to read this verse again. And I would just say, if there's someone here this morning that's struggling, commit your life to Christ if you never have. If you have committed your life to Christ and you're still struggling, recommit. Bible says his mercies are new every day. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Our offering this morning is for Nevada Missions. I invite the ushers to come forward. Let's pray together. God, as we gather here this morning at the beginning of a new year, we're so grateful for your love and your mercy and your grace. And most of all, we're thankful for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We pray this morning that you would bless this offering. We pray for the church in Nevada. We pray that you would send them leadership, that you would bless them in their building project. And we just ask, Lord, that all this would be done to bring honor and glory to your name. We ask your blessing on both the gift and the giver. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please turn in your Zion's Praises to number 529. Again, number 529 in your Zion's Praises.
Thank you.
Thank you for your offerings. Pastor Micah will lead us in the baby dedication, and then Pastor Mike will bring the message.
Well, this is a special opportunity as a church to be able to bring the little ones in front and say, we don't have it within us as parents to convict a heart. It takes more than a parent's discipline, more than a parent's correction. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit and God alone to change a heart. But it also takes the body of believers and those around us to encourage and to empower and to fill in the gaps that we as parents miss. And so that is what a baby dedication is all about. A public surrender of a child to the work of Jesus in their life. I invite those who are going to be taking part in that this morning to go ahead and come forward. Mike is actually going to be preaching on baby dedication here in just a little bit. We are also down 3 babies from what we were originally planning due to sickness. All right, I am going to give a moment. All right, I'm going to give each family an opportunity, and then I will invite those who are going to be praying for each family to come forward after that point, after I ask a few questions. So who will share first?
Morning, church. I am Jeremy Zimmerman. This is my wife, Larissa, and our daughter, Victoria Joy. October 5 of 2022, Larissa and I met with my doctor and received the official diagnosis of stage 2 Hodgkin's lymphoma. In that meeting, we discussed a treatment plan and were warned of potential side effects, including that there was a good chance we wouldn't be able to have any more children. The following 15 months was a season of difficulty and sadness for our family in various different ways. To be honest, sometimes it almost felt like the punches would never stop coming. In January of 2024, I told Larissa, I think this is going to be the year it turns around for us. And a short time later, we learned that she was pregnant. Victoria's conception did, in fact, mark the beginning of what has felt like the tide turning for us. And on October 5, 2024, exactly 2 years from the date of my diagnosis, she was born. Psalm 30, verse 5 tells us that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. We feel like her being born on the 2-year anniversary of my diagnosis was God smiling on us and saying, I got you, morning has arrived. We picked her name as a representation of that reality and also as a representation of our desire for her life. Our desire for her is that she would live a life of victory and joy, which is found only in the Lord. And so this morning we want to dedicate her to God and to invite you as a church family to come alongside of us in raising her up in the instruction of the Lord and praying that she will give her life to the Lord at a young age. Thank you.
Good morning, church. My name is Joe Showalter. This is my wife, Emily. And this is our daughter, Daphne Jane Showalter. She is 9 weeks old yesterday, and she's doing well. We're having a good time. I started fiddle lessons with her last week, so she's hanging in there pretty good, a little early, but no, it's all good. A few Sundays ago, my brother preached a sermon on influence, and I've really thought about that a lot over the past couple weeks as it relates to her growing up and all of the easy ways that a person can be influenced badly. And I can't think of a better place to have good influences on a person than here at church, surrounded by godly people, and experiencing that on a routine basis. So anyways, Emily and I would like to dedicate Daphne to the Lord, and we would like to ask the church to support us in that, come alongside of her. We just ask for your prayers and your influence on her life. A verse that came to mind for us was Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Thank you.
Good morning, church. I'm Josh Showalter, and this is my wife, Shania, and we have a son, Emmett, who is 2 years old, and this is Blair Elaine that we're dedicating this morning. She's 7 months old a couple days ago, and she's doing very well. She was a little over 9 pounds and when she was born, and she's been a real healthy baby so far, and we hope that continues for her. And she's been a joy to have so far. There's definitely been some challenges going from one to two kids, but I'm sure most of you guys with more kids than that would roll your eyes. But but yeah, things are going really well for us, and we're so happy to have her. We would, ask for your prayers and support as we try to raise her the best we can. We know that it takes more than just us to do a good job, and we praise God that we come from godly backgrounds, and we want the same thing for her and have a good supporting church behind her with lots of good influences. So thank you for your prayers.
Jesus is Lord.
We are Corey and Charity Trissel, and this is Adam. We did not give birth to Adam, but he joined our home about 4 days old, 3 days old. We're committing to doing our part as long as we can. Hopefully, he will become a permanent part of our family, but we haven't reached that point yet. Looking at these little ones being adopted into new families, I was thinking about, well, all of us are born into sin. We all belong to a family of sin. But through faith in Jesus and God's mercy, he brings us into, he adopts us into a new family, family of believers. And so all of us believers have been adopted at least once. Thank you.
Well, good morning, church. I'm Justin, and this is Lisa, and we have a 2-year-old and a 3-month-old. As Josh said, it might not mean much to you guys with a bigger family, but it's been quite the adjustment that's still ongoing. This is Keenan Cole. He's Hebrew interpretation of his name was, or one of them would be, to come to possess. And it's our desire, with the help of our church family, to raise Keenan to come to possess an attitude of willingness and servitude to the Lord, providing and protecting for his family and for the community around him, and more importantly, to follow the calling that the Lord lays on his heart. Thanks.
Thank you all for each sharing. I'm going to ask them 2 questions, and if it's your desire, say we do. Do you dedicate yourself to pursue relationship with God by trusting in the finished saving work of Jesus Christ and depending on the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your life, knowing that the life you model will shape your children more deeply than the words that you say? Do you dedicate yourself to raise your children with biblical love, instruction, and discipline? Will you teach your children to love Jesus, knowing that your primary responsibility as a parent is to train your child to follow him? Well, I invite those who will be praying over each one to come forward at this time. While they're coming, we are having another baby dedication on the 29th. If you desire to have your children dedicated at that time, please let one of us know. And we would love to put you all into that. All right, Sean.
Let's pray. Lord, I thank you today for this day that you have made. Lord, I thank you for life. I thank you for little baby Blair and her life, Lord. And I thank you for creating her, for knitting her together in her mother's womb, Lord. You knew her name before the beginning, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your sovereignty over her and her life, Lord. And we just pray for her future. We dedicate her to you, Lord. And we pray that she would make wise choices, that she would turn to you, Lord, that you would protect her from the schemes and the attacks of the enemy. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Josh and Shania as they raise this precious little girl, as they pour into her and as they teach her about you, Lord. I just pray that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them patience, and that you would give them love even when it's a struggle. Lord, I just pray that you would help Josh as he leads in that. Lord, I thank you again for this gift of life. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, Creator of life, we commit Kenan back to you as his church family. We acknowledge that you alone can save one spirit, and we humbly ask that you pursue and reveal yourself to Kenan in ways he can understand at a young age. May his heart be soft towards you, and may he develop a desire to obey and honor his parents. Grant them wisdom and understanding his nature so that they may partner with you in training him in the way he should go. Bless Kenan with purpose, drive, and direction, that he may grow into a leader among men, walking in authority as a son of God, allowing many to feel and experience your strength through him. May he be pure in heart, walking in humility and grace, encouraging all those around him with his presence. Guard and protect his innocence and purity, and in due time bless him to be a godly man. So together, with a woman of God, they can build a family unit where a legacy of your greatness can be passed on. We cut off and come against any generational curses or sins that may have opened doors for the enemy to access Kenan. We claim the blood of Jesus over him, declaring that he is free from any past generational bondage and strongholds. In Jesus' name we pray and submit this blessing. Amen.
God, what a privilege it is to be here this morning with these godly parents and grandparents to pray a blessing over this beautiful little girl who was made in your image. Lord, this morning we just lift up Daphne Jane to your throne of grace. We lift up Joe and Emily, and we just pray for this beautiful family, Lord, that you would abundantly bless them, that you would guide them, that they would always walk in the way of truth. We pray for Daphne Jane that she would grow up knowing about you, knowing about Jesus. We pray that she would accept Jesus as her personal Savior at a young age. We just ask, Lord, that you would spare her from the trials of waywardness. We just pray, Lord, that she would always love and follow and honor you. We come against the works of the enemy who would come to kill, steal, and destroy in her life. We come against Satan in the name of Jesus. And we just ask, Lord, that your blessing would follow Daphne wherever she goes. We ask all this in Christ's name.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of life. We recognize that it's in you that we live and move and have our being. So we thank you for life. We thank you for the life of this sweet Victoria Joy. We ask that you would cloak her in Christ, that you would lead, guide, and direct her life, that she would know you at a young age. We pray that you would guard her purity, that you would keep her from the schemes of the enemy. We pray that she would abhor what is evil and cling to what is good, that you would be with her all the days of her life, that you would bless her and keep her and make your face to shine upon her. Thank you for sparing our brother Jeremy from his cancer. We pray for a blessing over him and Larissa as they parent these beautiful children. Just pray that your Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and direct their home, their lives, and all that they say and do for the honor and glory of Christ. We commit this sweet Victoria to you in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for baby Adam. Jeremiah
1:5, you say, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, before you were born." Jeremiah 29:11 also states, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." We thank you, Heavenly Father, for Corey and Charity's willingness to take Adam into their home, not knowing if he will be adopted or not. We thank Charity and Corey for their loving heart to cuddle Adam, to give him a sense of security, love that we all cherish and seek. We too ask you your blessing, Heavenly Father, on Charity and Corey as they seek wisdom, guidance, and caring for little Adam for the length of time they've been entrusted to his welfare. We pray for the couple who have given up baby Adam to be raised by godly parents due to current circumstances. We pray that the couple might find healing and most of all a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for your gift of salvation that is available to all who seek you in every difficult situation. Lord, may you hold little Adam in your arms and bless Charity and Corey as they seek your will in both good and difficult times. May you be glorified and honored as little Adam is lifted up to you for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I always love baby dedications. You could turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 if you'd like. You know, one of the things I enjoy greatly when performing a wedding ceremony is asking the couple, "Do you want?" I usually ask them before I do it publicly, but not always. "Do you want the correction and input from the witnesses you've invited in your marriage?" And I ask that publicly, and they look at me and say yes. And then I say, "Did you all hear that?" That is a powerful, powerful thing to do. Getting up here this morning is not insignificant. And I just want to commend you parents that were up here today. You came to dedicate your children, but the question said, "Do you dedicate yourselves?" Did you notice that? Maybe you didn't even realize what you were answering. This was a statement that you will go home and raise that child in the image, in a sense, of what happened here today. Publicly ready to say, "I need help." Publicly saying, "I need prayer from the church." Saying, "This prayer right here is what is going to be the foundation for this child. We will pray over this child." I think the reality is there's some of us here today, parents, that we wish we could come up right now and rededicate our teenage child or rededicate our adult child or fully grown child who has children. I wish so bad I could come up here and say, "Church, I'm dedicating my child, you might not even know that child, to the purposes of God. Would you pray with me? Would you help me?" Why? What do you have in mind for that child? So that they can be a doctor. So they could grow and be wealthy, prosper on the earth financially. What is the hope for that child? I think most of us would say, "I don't have plans. I don't have a roadmap for my child. I just want them to follow the Lord." Right? It's interesting. This morning, if I'm on track, and I think I am for the Bible reading, it talks about in Matthew 5:17, part of our passage. I'm sitting there reading that, and I thought, this is appropriate. Jesus is saying, don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, till heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or one stroke of the letter will pass away from the law until all things are accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches, did you hear that? Whoever does and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. What a call for parents to do and teach the law of Christ. But if you do and teach your children to neglect or disobey the law of Christ, it sounds like we ought to be scared of that. And that is the direction that I'm headed with the message this morning. I do want to encourage you, if you're just starting the Bible reading plan or hope to, like tomorrow or today, you're about 5 days behind, but you can do it. The papers are in the back if you want to do that. I think there's been a little bit of confusion. There is an app for this, and you're allowed to use that app to track. But we're encouraging you to read here. And I sat down a couple weeks ago, and I thought, because I often listen when I go through the Bible in a year, or I'll read it on my phone. And I thought, I got to start doing this in the Bible, in the paper Bible. And I sat down to read it, and I prepared myself, and I got like a pillow for reading, and I got my lamp and a blanket or whatever, because I'm in the basement, and I just thought, I'm going to be here a while. So I got all ready to go, and about 10 minutes later, I was like, oh, okay, I'm done. I'm done with today's Bible reading. And I just have this in my head that, and it's because I think I need to be busy. So I play the audio from my phone while I do other things. While I exercise, while I get some work done, and it feels like it takes a long time. Probably because I have to replay it because I didn't hear it, and replay it again because I didn't hear it. But the reality is I've been incredibly blessed so far in the few weeks that I've done this. And I want to encourage you to do it. Micah has been encouraging you to do it. You can follow along on the Bible reading plan on the app, or we have every day on the table in the back. Every day is on a piece of paper, and you can follow us there. Encourage you to join us. So let's talk about baby dedications. Let's talk about, well, I'm not going to get into the history of it, but I'm pretty sure it came from just Catholicism, infant baptism. I don't want that to take away from how special it is, but there was a practice that we moved away from, and now we have baby dedications where it's not baptism. It's not a method by which we think the child's salvation is secure because of what we're doing today. That's not the case. But this is a process of dedication. I don't see any New Testament callings for dedication. We don't do it because if we don't, we think we'd be living in sin. There is an example of dedication. Jesus was dedicated. And we know that it was a command in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. And I think it's a wonderful thing. So we are in Luke chapter 2, and we're just reading verses 21 through 24 today. Luke 22, 21 through 24. It says, when the 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were finished, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, in an attempt to expose this scripture and what it is trying to communicate to us, I'm really honing in on 2 words. They're being obedient to the law that they were following at the time, and they took Jesus to present him to the Lord as they ought to do, where it says, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord. Dedicated. So what does it mean to present ourselves or our children to the Lord? And what does it mean to dedicate? There's a lot of examples of dedications in Scripture. Specifically in the Old Testament, we see the temple in Ezra 6. They celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. The walls of Jerusalem in Nehemiah 12:27. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sent for the Levites wherever they lived and brought them to Jerusalem to celebrate the joyous dedication with thanksgiving and singing accompanied by cymbals. Private dwellings, like your home. The officers are to address the army. Has any man built a new house and not dedicated it? Let him leave and return home. Otherwise, he may die in battle and another man dedicate it. Wow, that seems like a big deal. Hannah and Samuel, another great example of Hannah giving her child to the Lord, presenting him, dedicating him, giving him wholly to the service of the Lord. And now we have Joseph and Mary dedicating Jesus. This idea or this word dedicate comes from two Greek words. Do I not have them written down here? Yeah, combines two Greek words. The first is to call. The first is to call or to invite. And the second is would be the Greek word for sacred or holy. So when we say dedicate, it means to call separate or to name holy, to set apart. So when you do this for anything, we recently bought a new family vehicle, and the first thing we did when our family was in it, we prayed and dedicated it to the Lord. And I specifically said in my prayer, Father, if my children are of the age where they can drive and they want to do crazy rebellious things in this vehicle, help them to remember this day that it is dedicated to your purposes and your purposes alone. That is the purpose that we have this vehicle. It is dedicated. It is set apart. Now, it's a totally different thing, I think, for our children. But when we are looking at something that is under our authority or under our care, I do think it is important that we look at it as a gift of God, and it is for God. And that is the process by which we are doing today in dedicating. We are naming or calling out or declaring that this child is set apart to be different for the purposes of God. You know, I really believe that dedicating your children in this public manner is a good way to start out this journey of you parenting your child correctly. I really do. You've invited our correction. You've invited our prayers. You've invited our support into this journey of you raising this child. It's a wonderful thing. Do you view it that way? What is the future of you parenting this child look like? Does it look like someone from the church coming to you? It might be a good friend or maybe somebody who just observed something and saying, hey, I've noticed some behavioral issues in your child, or I've noticed some, you know, have you noticed the dents in the walls, you know, in the basement? It's your child. Or, you know, like, is that what you're thinking? Like all the maintenance that's going to come from parenting? What about the way we started off the dedication? Do you dedicate yourself? What about us coming to you, the parent, and saying, I've noticed in you? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about that being a part of the journey of you raising your children? And this now is applicable if you're not a parent. If you're like, well, he's talking to parents, this is ridiculous. You have influence over children no matter who you are. I hope you take this to heart no matter who you are today. Dedicating them here today is a good way to start it right. But how do we keep it right? How do we keep it right? I want to draw our attention to Romans chapter 12 for just a second here, because there's a word that is used, that is also used in the Luke passage, when it talks about presenting Jesus. And that's what we're doing today, is presenting our children to the Lord. So Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not conform to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. There's so much to unpack here, but I'm going to focus again on this word present. Have you come up here today to present your child to the Lord? To say, Lord, this is your child, church, we need your help. But then you go home and live a life where you do not present yourself to the Lord. Okay? I'm about to step on some toes, including my own. Do you bring yourself, present, do you bring yourself before God as a living sacrifice? What is a sacrifice? When you sacrifice, you take something that is of great value and you consider it not belonging to you anymore. You give it up for worship, for the good of something else or someone else. You sacrifice yourself means to take the thing that is probably of most value to you and to say it belongs to the Lord. It is no longer mine to do with what I want. It belongs to the Lord. And then present is an active word. It is to actively give yourself to the Lord. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. I feel like this goes without saying, but maybe it'll hit home. Coming here today and saying, I'm presenting my child, but going home and saying, I will not present myself to the Lord, is a major contradiction. Do you understand that? I will not live a life that seeks to teach through word and example my child, but I will come up here in front of the church and say that that's what I want and say, you get what I'm saying? What happened today is a big deal. I really believe this. You are called to bring the most valuable thing in your possession, yourself, to God. I have found that the things that bother me or annoy me most about my children are the things that I dislike most about myself. How often I test God's patience, I frustrate his plans, I resort to whining and complaining, and if I'm honest, I must confess that far too often I act in the same manner and with the same attitude as that of a bothersome or annoying and frustrating child. I want to do the right thing, but I whine. I seek self-pleasure over God's pleasure. I struggle to admit when I'm wrong. I get defensive easily. I don't listen at times when I believe God is speaking to me. And you know how you can talk to your children like they're right in front of you, and you can just lay out like the gospel or just what they did wrong, and they'll just look at you and just be like, hey, Dad, yeah, can I go now? Like, you know what that's like, right? I'm pretty sure I've been doing that to the Lord. Like, I really have. Like, he just speaks right to me, and I'm like, can I go now? I'm ready to get on with life. I Googled the most common ways that children annoy their parents because I wanted to dig into this a little bit. I was really curious. And this isn't, I don't know that there are big studies on this, but here's one that I came up with, and I just thought it would be good to plug this in and expound on it a little bit. Five ways that children annoy their parents. Tantrums. Picky eating. Pushing the limits. Lying. Behaving around other parents, but not around you. And I'm guessing we can all identify with those, and if you're a parent here, you're thinking of your children, whether it's from long ago or right now. But I want you to think of yourself as a child of God for a second. What is behind a tantrum? Uncontrolled outbursts of anger or frustration. Do you ever, ever have anger or frustration to the extent that you no longer are able to control your emotions? I mean, come on. Come on. For most of us, the answer is probably yes at some level. So we could say your tantrum is probably matured over the years, but you likely still have them at times and throw them. Picky eating. What's the heart behind a child who's picky at some, whatever it might be. It might not be, just be eating. Being hard to please. Are you hard to please? It doesn't matter what the Lord gives you. You want. You want. You want. Are you happy with what you have, or will you only be happy with those things that you do not have? You might be a picky eater as a child of God. Pushing the limits. God sets boundaries for us to understand and obey. And we know that when we cross those boundaries, there are going to be consequences. Now or later, physical or spiritual, there are going to be consequences. Like when you tell your children you're not allowed to come in this room, maybe I'm studying for a sermon, like, I don't want you in here, all right? And they do the whole, like, I'm not in the room. Like, you guys, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's like, I didn't disobey, Dad. Oh, we do this. Do you love the heart of God? Do you love the heart of God? Dad says, don't cross this boundary. I'm going to obey the heart by which that instruction came. I understand the love that he had for me in bringing that to me, that instruction. He loves me enough to give me this guidance. I'm going to obey the heart of that. Or is it, I didn't actually break that rule, if you really think about it. We do that all the time. And I don't care if you do it to, like, me or not, or your friend or not. You do it to God all the time. Hard to please. You push the limits. Uncontrolled emotions of anger or frustration. Lying, intent to deceive. And I think, you know, you might not do this outright, like I just lie to God for fun. But emotionally, we're dishonest quite often. We're afraid of the truth, so we deny it. An unrighteous behavior. Behaving around others, but not around God. You know how children are. Like, they go to another home. And here's my breakdown of this, why I think this happens. When you're in someone else's house, you know that immediate consequences or pleasures are linked to your behavior. But when you're at home, there's a deeper level. You got the game figured out. I'm going to get grace and no discipline even if I behave this way. But if I go somewhere else, maybe you'll try it even, but it doesn't work, right? Because that mother or father or whoever's in charge there is not allowing that behavior to happen or whatever. You behave in other people's presence, but not in the presence of your family. So how often do we, when around men, we care what people think? Why? Because it has an immediate impact on how we are thought of or the consequences of pleasures of right now, right now. So we are on our best behavior around man. But you get alone with God, and you unashamedly, just delve into sin. Sinful thoughts, sinful pleasures, whatever it might be. Thinking that there's no accountability. I think our Sunday school lesson said something about that. The psalm we're looking at. I want to challenge parents, and this isn't just for parents, but all those who have influence over children. First, don't be a parent that grows old calling on your children to be a living sacrifice, but never being one yourself. Two, look for the annoying things that your children do. See it in yourself and deal with it. Allow your children to see you broken before God over the same sin that they frustrate you with. Did you hear that? Because I don't think many of us do this. Look for the things that annoy you about your children. Like, oh, it's so annoying. It's so frustrating when they act or behave that way. See it in yourself in the way you behave towards God. And be a living example of brokenness over that sin, over that behavior for your children. I would love to see a raise of hands right now of people who are like, man, that's happened to me straight up. Like, here's the story. Because it just happens so little to me. And I would love to hear stories of parents who are, like, nailing this. You see immature behavior in your child, you know it comes from you because you've been doing it your whole life. And you still do it, you just have dressed it up a little bit. And in the presence of your family, you illustrate brokenness over that sin. You cut off the power that is still enabling your children to behave that way, rather than continuing on as though it's not an issue in your life. You'll call it out in your children for the rest of your life, but not deal with it yourself. Challenge you in that today. I'd love to hear if you're struggling with it, if you know you should, or maybe you think you're perfect and your children aren't annoying and all that. I'd love to hear that too. I don't know. You know, it's easy to think that our children are unsinkable. It's easy to think that I've dedicated them, they're in a Christian home, we've got everything figured out. I'm sure everything's going to be fine. I've used this illustration before, about 6 years ago, of the Titanic, the unsinkable ship. The Titanic used around 825 tons of coal per day to operate. Cost $7.5 million to build in 1912. Two people were killed during the construction of the Titanic. They took 40,000 fresh eggs on the ship. There's 14,000 gallons of drinking water that were used every 24 hours. There were luxuries beyond what we can imagine on a ship. There was a first, second, and third class on the ship, and pretty much that was by levels. The first class was nearer the top, and there was exercise equipment, there was a swimming pool, there was all the stuff you needed for luxury. The boat was equipped to carry 64 lifeboats. Now, there are a lot of different numbers, so if you happen to be like a Titanic, like, smart person, and you're like, that's not true, 60, or there. I have found, even just this morning, looking up a bunch of statistics, there's a lot of contradictory information, but I'm close, okay? Equipped to carry a lot of lifeboats. 64 is the number I have, but they only carried 20. Now, the code or the requirement back then, I believe, was like 18 or 19. It was somewhere around there, no matter the ship size. So the Titanic was a bigger ship than any that had been made before. So but earlier, you have smaller ships required to carry, all ships required to carry at least 19 lifeboats. And as ships grew bigger and bigger, that standard didn't change. So Titanic is thinking, or the engineers are thinking, this will be plenty because it's an unsinkable ship. We've met the requirements. They're equipped to carry far more, but they don't need them. In fact, in the movie, if you've ever seen it, there's one spot where the man who designed it, someone says to him, There doesn't seem to be very many lifeboats, enough to equip if something were to happen. And he said, I've built you a fantastic ship. She's all the lifeboat you need. Pretty interesting. And when the ship struck the iceberg, it was able to handle three or four of its chambers filling up with water, which they would seal off and shut the water off. But if it got to five, that'd be too much. I think that's right. And they got to five. Only 30% survived. 2,226 passengers. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. 703 survived. 1,053 did not survive. This ship was built for luxury. But they didn't have what they needed when the ship began to sink. Think of your children today. Are you building them with luxury, for luxury? Too often we try to equip our children with everything we think they will need to be successful and happy. We simply count on the fact that they're not going to sink. We equip them with all the clothes, the food, the toiletries, the discipline that they need. We provide education, transportation, and fellowship with a local body of believers. We even love them so much, and we want them to be as comfortable as possible So we buy them toys and TVs and tablets in the name of luxury, not necessity. The best thing we can do is lead them to Christ through word and deed. The best thing we can do is teach them the ways of Christ. I want to encourage us today to know Christ. This is our motto: know Christ and make him known. Parents, a baby dedication is largely about you. I do believe in the same way there's power of saying publicly, Jesus is Lord. I think there is spiritual power in saying this baby is for the Lord. I do. But now it comes down to you, parents. Do you really want your child to grow up in the training and instruction of the Lord? Do you really want Christ first? If so, you need to be humbled. You need to get in the Word. You need to understand the Word. You need to be changed by the Word. You need to teach the Word. Don't equip them with all the fresh eggs they need. Don't spend $7.5 million in human effort. Don't equip them with 825 tons of coal per day. And forget about the lifeboats. When life gets tough for your children, they need to see your lifeboat is well equipped and ready. They need to see a father and mother dedicated to understanding and living according to the law of Christ. I'm going to end with Philippians 3. Philippians 3, 7 through 11. Paul says, everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now and we just acknowledge that we can't do it alone, and we thank you that we are not alone. Father, you've given us everything that we need to live a life of godliness. We give you praise for that. You've also given us a will. And we have two natures at war with each other. Father, I ask that as we are dead to the flesh, dead to the old man, empower us to live according to who we are. Help us not to spend a lifetime trying to become who you've said we are. And Father, for those who are here today, if there are hearts of stone that need to become hearts of flesh, I ask that you would do your work of redemption right now in every heart that is here. Father, that we would be a people that are transformed into the image of Christ and live according to that reality. Pray for the parents specifically right now, Father, that were up here today. Bless them. Encourage them. Thank you for the courage you gave them to be up front making a declaration to the people and the spirits that are here today that these children are set aside for you. Oh, Father, bless the work to be done in these children. As a church and as separate families, I ask that these children would be raised to know you, and that we, the church and the families, would do well in obedience and in teaching these children. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your graciousness to us. You give us so much that we do not deserve, and we give you praise. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Love y'all.
Again, in your Zion's praises, please turn to number 94. Again, number 94 in your Zion's praises.
Thank you, Mike, for a very inspirational but also a very practical message. You know, especially loved the part about the Titanic and the lifeboats. And as you were preaching, the thought just came to me, you know, if they would have spent probably less than 1% on lifeboats that they spent on the building of the Titanic, I would assume the only life of loss of life would have possibly been what few people were killed on the impact with the iceberg. You know, just such a small omission and yet totally catastrophic consequences. Good lesson. Thank you. This brings us to our time of announcements. There are some in the bulletin that I won't go over everything, but one that I wanted to touch on was next Sunday night will be worship night. And whether you play music or you enjoy music, I would really encourage you to be here. Just a whole evening of praise and worship, and just a wonderful time of fellowship and lifting up the name of God. So please make that a priority to be here. The following Sunday, January 19th, I believe, is our communion service. And then tonight, Blake and Ben Tice will be going to Rockingham County Jail to share the gospel there. So I certainly remember them as well as the inmates that will be attending that service. Pastor Micah has an announcement regarding the elder ballot.
If you remember, I stood up here a few weeks ago and laid out the need for two more elders to join the leadership team. I will give a brief overview. A year and a few months ago, Jeff and Bridget took a sabbatical and came back feeling a need for more leadership level, help on the leadership level of the youth. So we began looking for help for them, and Sean and Jeanette felt called to move into that role. And so Sean, as a pastor here, has been primarily doing a shepherding role as pastor. And he will now focus most of his energy towards the younger people, which is normal, just everybody younger than me. It's how you always view who younger people are, but probably like 30 and below. That doesn't mean that it's going to be a hard cutoff or anything like that. But their main focus is young adults, youth, ministry within the church, and helping with that. He's still going to be a pastor and all that. So we are going to have a need for more help on the discipleship, relational side of church leadership, and we see that. Also, Buff began a new term in September, I believe, and he agreed to sign up for another 2 years, and then he would be done as an elder after that point. So we are grateful for the many years that he has served here, but one of these elders would begin immediately, but would be taking Buff's place on the leadership team. So we will be adding one more person. So if you are a member here, you received an elder nomination form. This is not a mandatory form that you have to fill out, but we invite you to prayerfully consider who you believe God is calling into a leadership role within the church. And you can write down one name or two names or whatever. And have those back within 2 weeks, January 19, and we'll continue with the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Micah. Are there other announcements from the floor? Okay, if not, brings us to the time of our morning and closing prayer, and I just invite you to stand with me as we pray together. God, this morning it's been such a privilege to be here in your house to worship together, to dedicate these precious babies, to hear from your word. And we just pray, God, that we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. Lord, this morning there are so many needs around us. First of all, we just thank you and praise you for your grace and your goodness to each one of us. We thank you for health and strength and the ability to be here this morning. And God, that also reminds us that we have brothers and sisters and friends who are dealing with health issues. We certainly want to lift them up to your throne of grace. This morning, we pray for healing, and we just pray for your comforting presence with each one. We pray for Blake and Ben as they go to Rockingham County Jail tonight. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would go with them, would guide them and direct their words, their music. And Lord, most of all, we pray for each of the inmates who have signed up to go to the service tonight. Holy Spirit, just come and work in their hearts. Do an amazing work of grace and draw these men into your presence and into a relationship with Jesus. We pray for our nation as we lay a former president to rest and are about to inaugurate a new president. We just pray, Lord, for our leaders, that you would provide them with wisdom, grace, and guidance. We pray that you would protect them physically and spiritually. We pray, Lord, that they would be quick to honor you and to lift up the name of Jesus. We pray for world peace. We just, our hearts go out to the people in Ukraine and the Middle East, many other places where there's war and unrest and turmoil. God, we ask that the peace of Jesus would ultimately reign in our world and in our hearts. Thank you, God, for this time together, and we just pray that you would go with each person here, bless them and guide them and draw them into yourself. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.